Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I am a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates was founded in 1990, and we specialize in both domestic and international adoption. We provide pregnancy and adoption services throughout all of Michigan, with offices located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and Saginaw. Anywhere in Michigan, you can find a connection to Adoption Associates. Adoption Associates brings knowledge, support, and understanding in adoption. Adoption is not only our specialty, but it is our passion. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this weekly radio show to help educate and support adoptive families, birth families, and the adoption community at large. So we're really glad that you're listening in today and in support of our Adoption Focus podcast. If you'd like to call in during the show with questions or comments, we would love to hear from you at 347-850-1100. Again, 347-850-1100. And I have so been looking forward to today's show. We are piggybacking or kind of building off of last week's show. We heard from Chris Dickens talking with us about the China adoption program. And today we are fortunate that we have Tim and Mary Ann with us to talk about being open to the possibility of a China adoption. So I want to welcome them to the show. Mary Ann, Tim, are you with us?
Yes, we are. Yes. Thanks for having us.
Good morning. Morning. Thank you for being on today's podcast. We're excited to hear from you. I know that over the past couple of weeks, I've gotten to know a little bit more about your family and your adoption story, and I think it's just such a great fun-loving and touching story. So let's just go ahead and get started. And if you could start us off by telling us about your family.
Okay. Well, besides Tim and I, there's three children. Matthew is now 21. Emily is 16. She just turned 16 this weekend. And Joseph is 13. Matthew is our biological child. He's our B. I always say I have two A's and two B, or two A's and one B. Emily was our first adoption through Adoption Associates. And then Joe was our waiting child. The way we got Emily on my 40th birthday, because the way things were happening, we assumed Matthew was going to be an only child. He was already 5 or 6 at the time. And on my 40th birthday, Tim says, "What do you think about adoption? Let's have a baby." I said, "What every woman wants to hear on their 40th birthday, you know, let's have a baby." And I didn't know, my concept of what adoption was pretty outdated. So I said, "Okay, let's check it out," you know. And so we had heard that another family had used Adoption Associates, so I called them. We went to the meetings. Emily's process was pretty easy. She was born in February of 2001, and we brought her home in January of 2002, and she was the standard match. You know, they sent us the referral picture, and they said, you know, "Do you want her?" And we said, "Oh, sure," you know. That was a pretty easy decision. So, you know, we had a really positive experience with it. The trip was good. And then in my mind, I thought we were pretty well complete. We had Matthew, we had Emily, we had two children, you know, everything was going pretty good. And then in about, she came home in January of 2, and about September or fall of 2003, somehow the Holy Spirit was working through Matthew, and he stands up and he says at a family dinner, "Let me tell you about my brother Shane." We don't know to this day why he named him Shane, but so, you know, it wasn't even on my radar to get another child. I was perfectly content. You know, I'd given away the high chair and everything, you know. But little did I know, Tim was already looking on the website for other children. So
sure, and that's what I wanted to focus on today. You know, obviously you mentioned that you have a biological child and then two adoptions. So let's focus today on Joe's adoption, because I think that that will speak to a lot of people. And I'm going to kind of rewind just a minute. You began touching on that there, but will you share how you decided to move forward with adding a third child to your family? And I think you both kind of have a piece in here. It sounds like Tim had something going on, and then you maybe were on a whole different playing field, but let's talk about this for a minute.
Yeah. When Matthew was saying, you know, let me tell you about my brother Shane, you know, which was already planting the seed in late of 03. And then Joe's picture shows up on the waiting child's list in February of 04. And so Tim finds him on the website, and he says, do you think we can give this child a home? And I said, honey, I'm busy. I'm working full time. Your blood sugar must be off. Go get something to eat. You know, I said, we can't. I said, I don't think I can do this again. You know, this was not on my radar at all. You know, and then occasionally Matthew would say something about his brother Shane. But, I said, well, Tim, and, you know, most people assume it was me that was looking for another child. In both cases, it was Tim. And so since he hit the nail on the head with getting Emily home, I thought, well, maybe I should actually listen to him. You know, occasionally you have to listen to the other, to your husband.
In the end, his blood sugar was just fine.
His blood sugar was just fine.
Tim, can you talk about that? I'm so sorry to interrupt you.
That's fine.
I wanted to hear from Tim a little bit about how he was looking on the agency website and what was going on with him during this time that you had no idea that all of this was potentially coming at you.
Well, one of the things when we went to get Emily in China is you saw all these children that were there and needed a home. So that's always kind of in the back of your mind. You know, there's all these other great kids over there that are available. You know, and Marianne was one of four kids. I've got two brothers. So three kids didn't seem like that much of a stretch, you know. So I thought, well, this might be a good opportunity, a little brother or sister for Emily and for Matthew. So Kenneth floated the idea. Didn't sit well at first, but, you know, you see that little sweet little face on the internet page, you know, this little child. And he just had a few issues. So we thought, you know, we could get him to some good doctors. There's some great doctors at U of M and other hospitals in the area. You know, we could give this kid a good life.
And so he needed a family.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so what I agreed to do was I put Joe's picture on my bulletin board at work, and I looked at it and said, well, okay, well, let me pray, think about this. And then I called the agency, and I talked to Chris, and I said, now, we don't know for sure, but I said, you know, don't send this file back. And then I said, nobody else can get him, right? And that's when I knew he was going to be ours.
Because even though you hadn't quite admitted it to yourself or even your husband, there you were in conversation with the agency about no one else can get this referral at this point because we want him.
Exactly.
Right.
That's really
sweet. We were going to do what we had to do to get that little guy home.
Aww. And even though his name wasn't Shane, as your oldest kind of pulled that out of thin air.
Thin air. Well, where that came from, we don't know. So.
He still completed your family in a very beautiful way.
He completes us.
So let's talk about your initial reservations. What were your initial reservations as you were making this decision and moving forward?
Well, you know, I think, of course, the health issues, you're always worried, you know, what it might be, you know. We took the paperwork to the doctor. As it turned out, the doctor that we talked to in the practice had a grandchild that was internationally adopted, which we didn't even know at the time. And, you know, he explained to us, because, well, I guess we haven't mentioned what Joe's special need is. Joe has microtia, which is a deformed ear. Basically, he's missing the outside of his ear, the cartilage.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so when, you know, when we were looking at all this, you know, we figured, okay, he's going to be hearing impaired. We can handle this, you know. I mean, you have to be honest with yourself and say, how much can I handle? And we figured a hearing impairment was okay, you know. You know, there's always that consideration. You know, how is he going to fit into the family? And, you know, and once again, Matthew took care of that. When Chris was here doing the home study, she took Matthew aside and said, you know, this little boy might have some issues until your parents can, you know, get everything taken care of. And he was like 8 or 9 at the time. He stood up, put his hands on his hips, looked her straight in the eye and said, you adults are just making too much fuss about what may be wrong with him. He's going to be my brother and I'm going to love him. Chris shut the book and said, okay, we're good to go, you know.
Aww.
So, you know, so we knew he was going to fit into the, you know, there wouldn't be any issues with that. Tim has a financial story because whenever you're doing international adoptions, you always worry about the finances. And the good Lord took care of that one. You want to take that one, Tim?
Right. That was one of your initial concerns, Tim, was the financial considerations, right?
Yeah. Somehow it worked. Something about my pay, they had to make an adjustment. So I ended up getting this lump sum of money from my employer at the time. So the money came through for us to start the adoption process. It wasn't the whole thing, but it was enough to get us started on the journey.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you unexpectedly received this call from your HR department that there had been an error in your pay and you had money coming.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
So, that was a blessing. Yes.
Yeah, that was a blessing. I remember Tim called me at work and I, Jesus, are you ready? Sit down, you know. So, yeah. But like, okay, because you do start knowing the internet, the adoption process, and you don't know how all those things are going to work out. I mean, you know, you have to just take a leap of faith and just keep going because you'll learn as you go. You know, things do work out. You can't just sit down and check boxes and think it's all going to, you know, all this and this and this. Nothing in life actually works out like that. So, you know.
So I think you guys have to
be flexible. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good point, flexibility. And I think that you guys were chatting off air with me about some of the other initial reservations that you had. Maybe not feeling as knowledgeable as you would like to have about the culture and customs and traveling. And can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I'm not a big traveler. So, you know, that was always a thing for me. You know, it's like, you know, okay, you know, I'm comfortable in my little world, you know. But you put those fears aside when there's a child on the other end. You know, you look for what you can do for this child, not for yourself. Now, Tim didn't mind the traveling. He looked at it as an adventure. And, of course, with going to get Joe, we had 2 children at home. So, you know, it's like, and we weren't away from them for 2 weeks. So that was an adjustment. You know, we had to, you know, get used to the fact that they would all be, we would be separated from them and how they would react. I can't remember. I think it was Emily by the time we got a phone call that said she's only eating mandarin oranges or something. You know, she was having a little protest or something. You know?
Yeah.
So,
that's a girl.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you know, and it's different, but it's a good thing. You know, I pushed myself way out of my comfort zone. But Nancy told us this at the beginning when we started the international adoption. She says your world will open up. I mean, you're more aware of Not the whole world thinks like you. Not the whole world lives like you. You know, there were some in Joe's province, the poverty, that still, those pictures are still burned into my mind, you know, and you realize not everybody has it as good as we do, you know, and that also gives you an understanding of why these children are put up for adoption. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in this country, we would have a hard time understanding how someone could do that. But when you see the culture and the living conditions, you have a better understanding of how these things, why these things are happening. So,
and I think that you guys felt this responsibility then, in a sense, to say, well, we're able to provide for another child, and we want to do this. So let's, I think that's a really good point. Your experience there opened your eyes to what the need is.
Yeah, exactly. You see all these children, you know, and they're beautiful children. They're just waiting for a family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we have so much in this country, you know, and it's just like, okay, why, you know, if we have the ability, let's do this, you know. Even if it means giving up two trips to Disney or whatever, you know, it's a small price to pay. You're giving a child a life, you know.
Absolutely. I want to shift the attention for just a moment to the topic of special needs adoption. When we say special needs, some people go, whoa, 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 it sounds scary. The word can be a little intimidating. But Joe was a waiting child, which means he did have some unique needs and wasn't necessarily considered completely healthy. I want to hear from you about your perspective on that, how you came to the decision to be open to this, and then what that looked like for you.
Yeah, you know, and that is scary because, and one thing, you know, we always tell people is what we consider special needs in this country might not match what they do. So, you know, things that we can take care of medically here, easily might be considered special needs. I mean, we took the I think I already mentioned maybe that we took the medical file to the doctor, you know, and he looked at it, and he told us medically, which is fascinating in itself because when the ear is developed, the kidneys and the heart are developed at the same time, and so he said, you know, there might be a kidney or a heart problem. There isn't been. You know, we've taken it. But he said, you know, so they were very honest with what it was. You know, I think the best advice I got was from our friends David and Mary, because I remember talking to her, and she said, David always says, just follow your heart. She said, you know, whatever happens, you'll be able to deal with. If your heart tells you to go get this baby, go get him. You know, so that was always, you know, our focus, you know. It felt like the right thing to do. We weren't always aware. And Tim, you want to mention when we got him, the morning we got him, what the stain?
Oh, you know, the pictures that you receive, you know, through the web, and you just assume certain distortions in the pictures are just, you know, that's coming through the web, a bad quality picture. Well, we had known about Joe's microtia in his ear, but we didn't realize he had a cafe au lait stain on his face and his skull, which is like a coffee stain, if you will, for part of his face. You know, that's something that has faded over time, but when we got there, it's like, oh, we weren't expecting this, you know.
And
he was... When we got him, he was, you know, crying and runny nose and all of that. And, you know, he just, it's like, okay, this is the point where you're a parent. You got to buck up. This is what we committed to.
Yeah, right.
You know, you take a leap of faith saying, okay, logically I know the ear thing will work out. You know, if he's deaf, then we have to do sign language and all that. So you're prepared for that. And then this other little thing just kind of creeps up on you. It's like, oh, that's really what that was in the picture. You know, we didn't know about that.
Yeah.
So some things are unknown. and their medicine's a little different than Western medicine. So people have gone for get kids for like heart problems. They don't really have a heart problem when a doctor on the state side evaluates them. So
Right.
And we've been really blessed with incredible doctors at U of M Hospital and locally too that have diagnosed Joe and treated him, and you know, they're just amazing things they can do for kids now.
Would you mind sharing a little bit about how Joe is doing and what has transpired with his hearing and his ear?
Well, Joe has had two different hearing aids. One that's kind of behind the ear, so his ear that is formed, you know, he just has a hearing aid just like all the older people you see around. And he also received, probably when he was three or four, a bone anchor hearing aid on his malformed side. So then he's able to hear in stereo just like we can with his aids.
Okay.
Yeah. So and with his aids, he's in normal hearing range. So
wonderful.
So
the school district also works with us to make the IEPs basically where they help. These are his deficits. This is what he needs help with. So if he needed a FM radio system to go with his hearing aid, we could get that type of equipment, whatever he needs. And he's doing fine now. You know, his regular classroom doesn't need his FM system anymore, and he can hear what's going on and keep up with everything.
He's on the honor roll. He's turned into a woodworker. You know, he's building things. You know, he's active. He's social, you know, so.
And what grade is he in?
He's in seventh grade now. He's in seventh grade.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'll actually forget, and the other two kids will have to say, "Mom, remember, he can't always hear you," or something, or he's not, you know, or something. It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's hearing impaired. I forgot.
Well, I think that's important that you mentioned that, because you were telling me about off-air how you have never used his disability or let him use his disability as an excuse, right?
Right. No, he's expected to pull his weight around the house and, you know, everything else. He's expected to do good in school. He's expected to behave. I mean, it's never an excuse that, you know, one of my cute little stories about Joe and that is several summers ago, I was giving directions, we'll call it giving directions, to all three children. And I said, "And now, go do what I said and use the brain the good Lord put between your two ears." And Joe raises his hand. I don't know why he felt he had to raise his hand, but he says, "Mom, I've only got one ear. Do I still have to do it?" You know? And I said, "Okay, you're off the hook, but you other two, go do what I said," you know? And he's like, "Okay, I'm going to use this," you know, but no, he's expected, you know, to do everything else. You know, he participates in everything at school. You're going to get good grades. You're going to behave. And we're in a small school, a private school, and the kids have all accepted him from the beginning, you know, so that hasn't exactly been a challenge or anything. So,
great. What
and
are some...
too, that he and his sister are just 2 years apart, so there's always been that little sibling back and forth on things. He always wanted to do what she was doing, so he pushed himself to do it.
Right. Yeah, for a while there, they were the same size, and everybody thought they were twins until, they're both grown. Yeah, because then it's like, no, you know. Because Emily's kind of on the short side, so,
okay.
Yeah. But
what are some of the unexpected blessings that have come from Joe's adoption?
Oh, wow. There's been so many. I mean, him himself, he's had several surgeries, of course, for the Baja and various other things. And he's just shown us the strength, you know, and the fortitude to get through it all. I think one of the big Emily and Matthew have grown in their compassion and understanding way beyond their years. You know, they've got each other's back. They look out for Joe. They look out for each other. You know, I a couple of stories that I tell. We had the Baja spot was infected or something. There, we had to go to U of M, and this happened like 5 years ago or something. And it was in a nasty. It looked nasty. And Emily's sitting on my lap, and she just, you know, sneaks off, looks behind, and I'm turning green in the corner because it's so nasty looking. And she just looks over and says, "Mom, Dad, I got this. I'll take care of this when we get home. I can clean this up." I mean, she's like 11 years old at the time, you know. And, you know, and then when Joe was little and he knew he had to go to the hospital, he would get upset, you know. And I know more than once he'd say, "I want Emily. I want Emily." And so Emily would get in the van and she would hold his hand all the way to Ann Arbor, you know, and that would calm him down, you know. One of the great things from both adoptions, we see both travel groups several times a year. Well, the Joe's travel group we see once a year, but the other ones we see several times a year. So that's been a blessing that that circle of friends have has come to be. The kids get to see other families that look like them. Says, you know, I'm Chinese, but my parents aren't. They've grown up together. I mean, we've been together now. We just had Emily's 15-year gotcha. You know, we've been together for 15 years. They've grown up together. So it's not unusual for them, you know. And we, you know, we've met some amazing people, like Tim mentioned, the doctors, you know, the school district that we work in with the special ed program. Is just here in Eaton County is just wonderful. We took Joe to Sparrow pediatric program for speech, and they were just amazing. Tim at Sparrow is just was just amazing and just did great things, you know. You know, and like we said, you know, your world does open up. And,
sure it does. It sure does. Tim, did you have anything else you would like to add into that particular topic?
Oh, I think with, maybe with the kids, they bring their own talents that aren't necessarily your talents to life. Joe's very mechanically minded. You know, he used to make all sorts of little contraptions with wood and, you know, play sets, and now he's branched into regular woodworking. And he likes going out and playing ball and doing all these physical activities. So the kids are all different in their own skill set. Emily's more musical. You know, Joe's more hands-on. He likes, he figures out how things work. And maybe part of that was, you know, the deafness before. You know, you don't have all those distractions. You focus on what's going on around you and move that way.
That's a great point.
Yeah, a great Lego maker.
Yes. Right now his thing is Rubik's Cubes and making those work in like a few minutes, you know. It's just amazing to me.
Yeah, we don't know how he does that. It's like he sets record time. He has like six of them here, all in different shapes, and he can just get them all like boom, 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 boom. So, and we tell people, you know, it's just the outside of the ear, you know. People sometimes think if there's something, you know, there's other issues, you know. No, everything's fine, you know. He's doing fine.
So as we're approaching the end of the show, I did want to see if you could share words of wisdom, advice to others, someone who maybe is where you were many years ago, thinking that your husband needed his blood sugar checked and couldn't possibly imagine yourself doing this. Could you speak to those people or tell us what your thoughts are?
You know, I think if someone is thinking about it, they should research it, you know. You know, they might be challenges along the way. But, you know, like we said, follow your heart. You'll never go wrong if you follow your heart. The joys far outweigh any challenges, you know. You know, we're not going to say it wasn't without its bad days. I mean, there were some pretty rough days in there. I don't think we mentioned that. Joe was a breath holder. But, you know, you research it. You talk to doctors. You connect with other people. You're not in this situation alone. You know, you reach out to other people. You know, and so, you know, talk to your doctors. You know, and we always say, you know, the waiting children have a medical special need, but their bigger need is they need to find their forever family. You know, those medical needs can be taken care of. Those emotional needs, you can work on those, but they need to find their family. That's the bigger need here in the whole picture, to find that family. So, you know, if you're thinking about it, if you've got an inkling about it, it's probably something you should really work with. Someone up there is kind of giving you the push. And, you know, and like we said, this wasn't on my radar at all. But, you know, as we tell the kids, we'd do it again in a heartbeat, you know. You know, look beyond your own little, you know, corner of the world and look and see what's out there.
And the message that, you know, I am hearing from you guys today is encouraging others to be open to the possibility of an international adoption.
Exactly.
And, yeah, I so appreciate you being here today. And the piece of advice that stuck with you to follow your heart is kind of a theme that we hear often. There is this force through our friends, through our faith, and through our families to follow our heart. And I think that you've spoken to that today. So Tim and Mary Ann, we very much appreciate you opening up and talking about your story.
No, well, you're welcome. Thank you for asking us.
Completely my pleasure to have you today, and I know that our listeners hopefully will hear your message. And if you are listening to today's show and are interested in connecting with Adoption Associates, you can call us at 800-677-2367, or you can connect with us through Facebook or on the web at adoptionassociates.net. We thank you for your support of Adoption Focus Radio, and remember that we are live every Tuesday at 11, and hope that you will join us for future topics to come. Also, a reminder for those of you in the Tri-City area that 2 weeks from today, March 14th, we have an wonderful evening planned entitled Explore Adoption to come and learn more about domestic and international adoption through Adoption Associates. That is at 6:30 p.m. at the Grace A. Dow Library in Midland. So give us a call for more information on that or any other adoption needs that you have. Again, Tim and Mary Ann, we appreciate you sharing with us today. And for now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. I hope you all have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.